Blog Talk Radio.
Can you shout it out one more time? I'm expecting great things.
Great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life?
Say, I'm expecting great things.
Great things. Expect some great things to happen. What you expect, I'm telling you, it is faith. Expect it, believe it, and receive it. Father, we just thank you right now for our expectation, God. We expect great things out of you, Lord God. Because of your word, Father, you've made us some promises, and we're holding on to those promises, Lord. And as we fight the good fight of faith, God, we ask you, Lord God, to activate our purpose, activate the vision, activate everything in us, Lord God, that you won't activate it. So, Lord, we thank you for this hour of power. And, God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will surround us with your angels. Let them be encamped, God, as we open up our mouths as oracles of heaven. God, that you will speak through us, God, and that the people that are the hearers, that they would receive. Amen, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say amen and straight from heaven. Glory to God. Straight from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I just want to welcome everyone and thank you for tuning in to an awesome, having an awesome day and logging into an awesome program. I'm just going to say it like that, because anything that's of God, it is. There's some awesomeness about it. There's some supernatural about it. Amen. It's something the world can't give you. And when God gives it to you, it can't be taken. Amen. It's almost like when you get that degree, it's yours. Can't nobody take it from you. You earned it. It's not like we earned it, but God gave it to us, and it's ours. He's not an Indian giver. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm excited. I am excited as I'm watching things unfold, as I'm watching things come together, and I'm waiting in great expectation of what the Lord doing. Amen. He's doing some supernatural things. It's almost like if you just stand there and believe, he'll tell you when to move forward. He'll tell you when to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I want to welcome everyone that keep on showing up for the work of ministry. I just pray God's blessing over you, over your family, and over every single thing that you touch. We even ask God to even bless your thoughts. Amen. Bless everything that you think, that it all will line up with great expectations. Amen. What are you thinking of? That's what I asked the young lady the other day. What's on your mind? You remember how JJ used to say, what's happening? What's on your mind? What are you thinking? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I believe it was JJ. Or is that, it's the other dude. I can't. Glory to God. But we say, what's happening? Amen. Glory to God. We're going to be talking about spiritual strategies for warfare. I'm telling you, I pray in the name of Jesus that you are using these tools, because the enemy tries every single thing he can prevent you from walking in God's best. Amen. You want to always come against your purpose. You want to always cause you to be focusing on things that's going to take you away from the fulfillment of the purpose of God for your life. So that's what we have to stay focused on. There's purpose in our mission. There's purpose in our message. Amen. So just keep on doing what God would have you to do, so that you can be walking in the center and in the middle and the front of his will. Glory to God, his perfect will. Well, today we're going to enter the combat zone. Amen. We've been talking about spiritual strategies. Well, you know, when you enter into the combat zone, you're battling the world. You're battling the flesh and the devil. Don't let nobody fool you. Yes, Jesus died on the cross and rose for us. And yes, he defeated Satan. And yes, he took the keys so that we may have the right to the tree of life. But we have to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. So there are some things that we have to do to walk in God's purpose and in his best. Satan got a strategy. And we have a scriptural counter strategy to overcome his deceptive tactics. Amen. Strategies. The science of forming and carrying out our military operation, because we have a spiritual military operation that we have the tools to use to defeat the enemy every single time. Amen. We have a method, we have plans, and it's going to lead us to victory. And that's the same identical thing that Satan does. He duplicate, you know how when you were kids, you'd be copycat. You call somebody a copycat because you see them copying off of you. Well, in the ministry, that's a good thing. As long as you are doing what God has called you to do. So you want someone to copy after you as you copy Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a copycat of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I am proud of it. And I say, come across this line or knock this off my shoulder. We're going into the combat zone. Amen. You know how I say you put the little stick on your shoulder and then they push it off and then, you know, you kind of lose your mind. Amen. But we're not losing our mind. We are defeating the enemy. Amen. You know, you as a kid, they say, what happened? And then you say, I don't remember. I don't remember what happened. But what you do remember is the fact that they pushed the stick off your shoulder. You remember that. Amen. But let's go to the Word of God. When I complete this teaching, I want to be able to touch certain areas so that I'm going to give you some key verses for memory. And I want to define, hallelujah, a few words that you would be able to, it's kind of like an overview because I kind of talked some of this. I did a teaching on last week about strategies and counter strategies and the strategies of Satan, which can bind the evil forces of the world and the flesh. And then I talked about spiritual strategies for victory over the world and the flesh. Amen. So we're going to touch base with Romans 6. And let me read Romans 6, verses 6, and I'm going to read 7. 6 and 7. Amen. Amen. I want you to listen up, and I want you to look thoroughly. And I want you to begin to see what I am saying. Amen. As I read, open up your ear gate as well as your heart gate. And open up your eyes so you can see the glory of the Lord. Amen. Knowing this, old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. There, henceforth, we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. So when we lose people, we all out of, you know, discombobulated and we all over the place. And, you know, we are, some of us go into depression, what have you. But the Bible says, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now, I usually say we have to be dead men walking. Amen. What is a dead man walking? You're not moved by Satan's strategy because you're on a mission with a message. So you're dead to a lot of things. Some things are just small. They're very small to you when you remember it used to be a big thing. Amen. But knowing this, that our old man, the way we used to be, is crucified with him. So when you go through things, understand, must Jesus bear the cross alone? Come on, somebody. And all of the world go free. And the Bible says that the old man is crucified with him, and that there's a reason. It says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin, dead to the things of this world. And I talked about, you know, people say, well, you're so heaven bound that you're no earthly good. Well, you're bringing heaven to earth. Amen. And when you bring heaven to earth, you don't need to be earthly good. Amen. Because you're beginning to create an atmosphere of heaven right here on earth. So since we have answered the call of arms and been inducted to God's army, and we're talking about the strategies of the enemy, and we're talking about territory, creating territory, and wherever you are, you should be bringing heaven to earth. You should be implementing the word of God. You should show people the old covenant and the new covenant, and so that we can understand that the old covenant and the new covenant, they work together so that others can understand that we're now under the new covenant. We are working our way back to you, Lord. And because we're doing that, we have to begin to create an atmosphere that sin and the enemy can't breathe. Okay? Not I can't breathe. No. He can't breathe. Or those imps can't breathe. Because God is a purifying Father. He purges us and he burns everything that's not like him. Amen. So he's a consuming fire. And when he consumes things that's not like him, it's going to burn up. Got to go. It's almost like, and I'm giving an example. You know, when you were most of us when we were kids, and you knew that it was a preacher or a pastor, somebody that was in ministry or clergy, you gave them what? The utmost respect because of your reverence to the Father or your reverence to your parents, because you knew that you didn't have an option. And because they create an atmosphere. And the atmosphere made you feel like you must do right. So that's how we have to live our lives. Not compromising with the enemy. You know, not allowing the enemy to make us feel that we're so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good. See, the strategy is to battle the world way of thinking. You know, to battle this flesh, that we can control the way we think, that we can master our thoughts. And when we master our thoughts, we can make a manifestation of the will of God come into our atmosphere, and the atmosphere is conducive to the Spirit of the Lord. Then everything not like him can't breathe. Amen. So Satan's strategies, he has an organized method. Yes, he does. And his aim, he's aimed at gaining victory over our thoughts. Paul talked about the wiles of the devil. Paul talked about putting on the whole armor that we may be able to stand, but stand against the wiles of the enemy. So the enemy has a strategy, and those strategies do not change. So we need God's counter strategies so that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So when he uses devices, that we're not lowering our standards. So he pick a fight. And here we go, fighting with him because we don't want to look bad. You know what I'm saying? Pride. We don't want him to punk us out. And I guess it's safe to say that we don't want Satan to influence the listeners. So we got it's word from word. Amen. But we are not to defeat him with our mouth verbally. See, sometimes our lifestyle can defeat the enemy. So when he lie on you and when he lied to someone, the person said, oh, that doesn't sound like her. And I'm going to give you an example. So we had my mom's 85th birthday, and it was really nice, and we had a large room so that everybody would be comfortable and that we would be pandemic safe, should I say. And so we all had on, my sister, myself, my mother, and my other sister, we kind of dressed kind of alike, but I wore some pants that were close to my skin color. Amen. They had on black pants. And I'm just telling you how Satan works. And so my goddaughter posted some things on Facebook. And I mean, I myself, when I looked at it, I was like, good Lord, it looks like I don't have pants on. Well, I know I got pants on, and I know I got a long top on. And so I get calls from people. And of course, they were saying I had this on, and well, one of the evangelists, hallelujah, because won't God just use one? She said, nope, I know her too well. Already know. Go back and look at the video again. You'll find her pants. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. And of course, they did. Now, had not she went forth with that, the word would have went out like that. So these are small lies to attack your character, to attack your walk, to attack your purpose. And then next thing you know, you're trying to defend yourself. And then the next thing you know, a root of bitterness has developed because someone put this out on you. But I'm trying to come before you just to say, don't allow the enemy to use the small things to distract you, because that's what he does. You ask the question, he won't answer it. He dances all around it, and you have to stay with it. Get the answer. Don't let him dance. Stay with it. You stay with it and get answers. See, Satan works through the world. In 1 John 5 and 19, and the Bible says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Did you know that? That's the Bible. He works through the world system. Satan is the prince of the world. And as it prints, he's influencing the governments of the nations. He describes as a deceiver of nations, not just a deceiver of mankind. We're talking about something global. He's vigilant. And that's what the Lord tells us to be. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil is come as a roaring lion. Amen. Can you see the lion roaring? As a roaring lion, I want you to get it. Look at that word, as. But he not. Because we know who the lion is. Amen. But he walk as a roaring lion and roaring so that he can see who he can devour. In other words, he can find out who's slipping. He can find out who's not walking in the whole armor. He can look around and see, oh, their gun's not loaded. They don't know the word. I can deceive them. In 2 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8. So the Lord encouraging us that we have to be vigilant. You know, we have to soldier up. You know, and I said to my goddaughter, one of them, it was an event going on. We were there, and you know, whenever you have an event, you got to be vigilant. You got to keep your eyes open because Satan's going to slip in. So it's like I'm using my peripheral vision. I'm using my spiritual vision. I'm using my natural eye. I'm using everything that I can because I want things to be smooth. And so the enemy was creeping in, And, you know, okay, you got to step up. I had to step up. But I say, when you have to step up, do everything in love. And guess what? Because we are Christians and because we are believers, we're not punks. I want you to get it. They'll take your weakness for meekness. I mean, your meekness for weakness. You know what I'm saying. And so when you step up, those demonic powers that was roaring as a lion, they see the real lion and they back up. You know, it's almost like the nation of Persia was working to prevent Daniel's prayers. And Satan is as a roaring lion in the world. But when the enemy came and was doing his tactics and coming forth and trying to start havoc at the event, I mean, you have to be so keen. You don't let that slip by. You stop it before it gets for spread. Become a wildfire. You know about the wildfire in California, the wildfire that has caught on and spreading and now is out of control. So that's what we have to do. We keep our eyes on the prize and we have to walk in spiritual discernment. So when the enemy acts up, and it doesn't matter who he acts up through. I want you to hear me. Because he looks for the weaker vessel. I mean, you know, they say ain't no love in the city. It is not about our loved ones. It's about defeating the enemy every single time he tries to manifest. Amen. He'll even, he'll describe, or should I say, he would appear to be an angel of light. He said, well, I know that's not evangelist doing that. Or I know that's not Pastor so-and-so doing that. Or I know Deacon so-and-so. He will appear to be on God's side. So you have to recognize it. We have to be keen. So that means that it's very important that we walk in forgiveness daily. Because he's coming. And his whole purpose is to destroy the man that God made. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Hallelujah. I want you to get it because you already won. And I want you to understand that as you use these tactics and these techniques and you soldier up, baby, you'll be ready. You know how you see them soldiers and they but like about face, like they don't turn their face, they just looking because they watching. They not slipping, they not dipping, they're watching. Amen. That's how we have to be. The Bible says, and marvel for Satan himself, and no marvel for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if he minister also, if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, who in shall be according to their works. So you can't believe every spirit. Yeah, they might say, oh, my minister, I'm this, I'm that. We try the spirit by the spirit to know if it's God. Because guess what? These false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false evangelists, false pastors, false ministers, they'll creep in and they'll try to fit in. Amen. It's like the when they try to fit in, they really don't think like you. They really don't act like you. I mean, they may appear to believe. They may appear that they are walking in the will of God. Because this is what the Bible is telling us. The Bible is telling us that we have to be vigilant. So the Bible says, know them that labor among you. What does that mean? Know how they're living. Know how they are loving. know how they are forgiving. You don't believe every spirit. You try to spy the spirit to know if it's God. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't put your faith in man. You put your faith in God because the Bible says that man will let you down. Why? So God can be the big G. He said, I won't even let you have another God besides me. We don't lose with what God used. So when the ministers are appearing to be holy, appearing to be what you believe that God wants them to be, you watch them in their trying times, how they come out of that. They'll come out of a bag on you. So what I'm trying to say is, so the enemy was acting up at this event, and so I knew that I had to confront the issue. And, you know, the whole time I'm going to confront the issue, I knew that I was being watched by everybody there. And it wasn't so much that I was being watched by them. I know that I got to represent God. So when I dealt with it, and I praise God that I'm old enough and mature enough in the spirit realm that I was able to tap in spiritually. Amen. I didn't attack the character, but I dealt straight with the spirit that was in operation. Amen. See, Satan, he settled, and he used these secret attacks. Oh, he worked openly, but he likes to work secretly. And he used activities of the world. And they are always directed against God. They're always directed against God's plan, against his people. He opposes God's work in the world. You know, and it's evidence of the rebellion when he fell from heaven. Okay, he was kicked out of heaven. In Ezekiel 28, he talked about it. Satan opposed the work that we are to do. He come against it in every way possible. So that's why we have to be at attention at all times. And we can be at attention and relaxed at the same time when you know the word. When you know the word and when he acts up, all you do is feed him the word, because the word will choke him out. I'm trying to tell you something. Satan always opposed the work of the Holy Spirit. He always opposed the word of God. He opposes the image of God. Listen what the Bible says. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Amen, amen. And the Bible says, in whom the God, lowercase g, of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine upon them. So we have to bring the light of the gospel of Christ, because the world is blind to the things of God. We are the representation. So we don't have time to be all depressed, always me, my, and I. We don't have time for that, because literally we have to be dead men and women walking. We have to be focused. See, Satan afflicts and tempts believers in the world. He will cause you to even forget what your purpose is, what you're called to do. Not only will he make you forget it, guess what he'll do? He will make you where you don't know what you should be doing. So if you don't know what you should be doing, what makes you think? What makes you think that if you don't know what you should be doing for God, that anyone else should know? So Satan make you where you all over the place. You know, one minute you're over here, next minute you're over there, one minute you believe this, next minute you believe that, you know, and then you attack people all the time. And I'm not talking about you per se, but I'm saying Satan will have you where you're so negative, where you're so against every single thing that you don't have time to build up because you're too busy tearing down. Can't have you like that. You know, I've went around people when I hear them start talking, I already have a strategy because I understand what my purpose is, and my strategy is to change the atmosphere. Why? Because I am an atmosphere setter. I create the atmosphere. Amen? I shine for God. So I listen to the story. I listen to what they have to say. And I ask God, please give me a scripture. Please give me a word, because I understand that I always win when I fight with the word of God. I always win. I never lose. Give them a scripture. Listen what God said to Satan in Job 1 and 12. See, when Satan really thinks he got you, maybe you got loss of a loved one, maybe, you know, some things going on, and you really, 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 truly going through, you think he got you. I come to tell you that he will afflict you so much that sometimes you start wondering, well, Lord, what about me? But look what the Lord said in Job when Satan thought that he had won. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. What was he talking about? What was he talking about? He was deceiving the world through a spiritual wickedness in high places, and this how he worked in this religious structure of the world. And he deceived through false doctrine. He deceived through false ministers and false teachers, like I said, religion, denominations. Denominations, Lord. But he waged war against believers who are in, but not totally in. So God will allow us to go through, and Satan think he got us, like he thought he had Job. But Job didn't lose faith. You know why? Because he understood that in the end, he was winning. We set up to win. We just set up to win. I said to one of my spiritual daughters, we were talking, and she recently lost her mother. And so I was saying to her as I began to pray, and I heard the Lord say, her mom was rejoicing in heaven and want to convey how beautiful heaven is. So we said, but our deceased relative is like, oh, my God, you don't realize what you're missing. So God wants you to know today that it's a win-win. Satan wants you to think, you know, that you lose here. But you don't. You win here, and you win later. So our loved ones that are believers, and they die in faith. Listen, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So they're spirits now without a body. And God is a spirit. So now they're dealing with total spiritual activities. We're the ones still stuck here, got to deal with all this worldly stuff. Amen. I get excited because I do know that heaven is our home. Heaven is our home. And we just have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Let me read the scripture to you. You know, when Satan was waging warfare against believers as he does today, Ephesians, you know where I'm going. Ephesians 6, chapter 10 through 18, when Satan was accusing and he was slandering the believers. You know, the Bible says he accusing us day and night before the Father. Look what she did. Amen. But anyway, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, chapter 10, verse 18, I want you to listen to this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Lord and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The audacity. That's Revelation 12 and 9 through 10. I just kind of got excited. The nerves to be accusing us to our daddy. That's like your friend and when it told, talking about you to your mom or your dad or your family. And doing it day and night. See, what he wants to do is plant doubt in the mind of believers, of others, and he want to put temptation. And, you know, you pay attention to people that's always talking negative. You know, pay attention. You know, pay attention to people. Now, don't get me wrong, because actually I told on my brother today, but I wasn't accusing him. I was bringing shining light on it. Amen. So, but I'm saying the accuser lies, telling the truth. He's deceitful. So he wants to cause discord so he can cause unity to not manifest. So we can't allow people to be in our ear gate that's not speaking the word of God. See, Satan, he incites persecution. He try to prevent the believer from effectively serving. You know, sometimes we look for validation from people, but while we're waiting on validation, God is waiting on us to move forward. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In Revelation 2 and 10, it talks about that. You know, it says, the Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Don't be afraid of what you have to go through. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Oh, yeah, he's going to come and he's going to try what he can try. But there's no weapon that's formed against you that's going to prosper. That's why it's important that we soldier up. That's why it's important that we don't walk in the flesh. That's why it's important that we keep our mind focused on what God is doing. Because Satan used the flesh to affect our minds, to affect the way we think, to affect the way we respond. Amen. He used these tools, but we have to know what he's doing. And then what he'll do, listen, he will make us sold to the flesh. And the Bible says that when you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Flesh reaps corruption. So if, you know, they put a bad name out there on you, that's sowing to the flesh. So you go back and you say, well, you know, I'm going to correct them, and you put a bad name out about them. that's sowing to the flesh, and that's going to reap corruption. My mom and I was talking about a situation where a young man was shot. Well, that's what he lived by. That's what he do. So now he got shot, and guess what? He got shot in his gluteus. Amen. He got shot right there. And he was spared. It could have been worse. Fine, young guys. You know, but this is their lifestyle. So instead of us, you know, seeing how they live in, what do? We pray to that they would turn from their ways. Amen. Because it could very easily be one of us. Somebody prayed for you, and someone prayed for me, and someone prayed us in. So we don't give place to the devil. If we give place to the devil, we opening up a door for him to come in. That's Ephesians 4 and 27. So I'm teaching about Satan's devices so that when he comes forward, guess what? We already know that he worked through demons. He worked through, oh, man, I just love this part. But I know that I'm not going to have the time to really teach it and give prudence to the subject like I need to. I'm going to how Satan worked through demons. You know, we look at Satan, but he worked through demons. When the Bible say neither give place to the devil, this is a warning, and he's indicating that when we commit these fleshly sins, that we give place to the devil. And what does that mean? That literally we give a claim to him. We open up a door, come on in, for him to come into our life. You know, when we're walking around angry, when we're walking around upset, when we're walking around in unforgiveness, we literally giving room to the devil. And if we continue, we willfully indulging in fleshly sin. And what happens? The result is we'll be in bondage to Satan. Amen? And we don't want to be in bondage, because then we make Jesus' sacrifice nullified. It's in vain, because he came that we might be set free. He came that we might be whole. He came that we might live life and live it more abundantly. Amen? And that we might have the characteristics of God. You know, that we'll walk in peace and joy and love. And, you know, so the Bible says in 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter in the 26th verse, that 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 26th verse, the Bible talked about that, and they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken captive. They're taken captive by him, his will. So we can't continually indulge in fleshly sin. We can't say, oh, I done missed it this time, I done missed it that time. You miss it, and after you miss it, you shake yourself off, and you don't fall for that sin again. As born-again believers, you know, Satan wants us to be possessed. But as a born-again believer, we cannot be possessed by him. You know, as long as we remain true believers. Because possession by Satan is when he controls your body, your soul, and your spirit, and your conduct, and your thoughts. That's when you possess. But if you're a believer, you continue to practice fleshly sin, you know, there come a time when the practice may move from a sin of the flesh to a sin that's controlled by satanic, demonic activity. So you give room to him, and he's going to take over. You know, they say if you let the devil ride, that's not good enough for him. Because he want to drive. Amen. So one of our counter strategies is we work together. Because guess what? They work together. together. Those demons work together. They like being around each other. You know, when they come, they're going to come in groups. Oh, yeah, they're not going to travel by themselves because they know how weak they are. So they come in packs. You know, animals, you know how they're in packs and they have one another back. That's what we have to do. See, the world, the flesh, and the devil with his demons and combine their evil forces of war against believers, this is real. And I'm not teaching this to make you afraid. I'm teaching this to encourage you that when these things happen, that you would use the weapons of your warfare. Because they're mighty. They're mighty. You hear me? They are mighty through God. And you can pull every stronghold down. You can cast your thoughts. You can cast them down. You start thinking this way, cast it down. Take authority over it. See, he used the flesh to gain entry into your soul, your mind, your spirit. He used your flesh. And what he'll do is he'll may send someone, maybe like, oh, I really like your earrings. I really like your necklace. Oh, you look so good and you look so young. And then now they're getting your trust. And I'm not saying that everyone that say that to you is operating in his kingdom. I'm just saying that's one of the tools that he used. So he can get you relaxed. So he can get you comfortable. And he can get you to put your guards down and unload your gun. Amen. You know, you get so comfortable, you're like, you take the bullets off the gun. And then you not only take the bullets off, guess what you do? You take the gun and lay it on the table. Because hey, at ease, soldier. You know, so we have to stay ready. Not to stay on guard. I'm not saying all stressed out. I am saying to be vigilant. Don't take your bullets out. Don't put the gun on the table. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against the Lord. Counter strategies will overcome the flesh. Present your body as a sacrifice. See, in the military forces, you know, in the natural world, you know, a man or woman enlists in service and they come under complete control of their superiors. They have to. And sometimes they have to break that soldier's spirit so that they can be in subjection to the authority at hand. You know, so they give them instructions and how to conduct themselves and how to dress and how to combat the enemy. How to be effective, talking about today. How to be effective in spiritual warfare. And it's the same way. We have to be under control and in control of every single thing that the enemy is trying to do to us. So we have to present our bodies as sacrifice. Arm ourselves. And by arming ourselves, we must have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I think I'll give you two more scriptures, and I pray that you are really receiving what I'm saying. Because just saying I'm saved and, you know, not going deep in the word and not really changing and not really looking in the mirror at yourself, but you can see what's wrong with everyone else, it's not acceptable. But listen what it says in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. How should we live holy, acceptable unto God? That's just your reasonable service. It's not like we're doing anything big. That's what he expects of us. Holy in our thinking, holy in our actions. Are we going to miss it sometime? Of course. But listen what the Bible says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we must present ourselves to God as, I like to say, as an act of your own will. So in the Old Testament, when a sacrifice was given to God, the people who offered it had no further control over it. They gave it. Here, here, do what you want. It was given totally to the Lord. So instead of conforming to the world and the flesh, we must transform. What does that mean? We transform us. We must change. And we change by renewing our mind. Amen. And as we study about the battle of the mind, the enemy know if he caused you to lose your mind, he know he got you. If he caused you to think on his things, he know he got you. So we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. The renewing of the mind is done by arming yourself with the same mind as Jesus. How do we know it's mine? His word. The word is his instruction. Some of us have not opened up our Bible. We must. Okay, if you don't want to open the Bible, just say, hey, Google. Okay, we things are so innovative. Technology, I believe, you know, that we can get the Bible so many ways. But listen what this says. This is, I believe, the last scripture that I'm going to give today. And before I give this scripture, let me, I hear the Lord saying, get over it. You know, just get over what have caused you to struggle within your heart. You make a conscious decision to get over it. What does that mean? A conscious decision to let someone off the hook. They may not say, I apologize. They may not say, I hurt you. Just let them off the hook. God said, I will reward you. And your labor of love has not gone unnoticed and unrewarded. So God's going to reward you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your supernatural power, Father. I seal this prophetic word in the hearts of your people, and I thank you, Father, that you caused the manifestation of it. In Jesus' name. In 1 Peter, and this is the scripture I was making reference to, 1 Peter chapter 4. About renewing your mind, developing the proper attitude towards your flesh. You have to tell your mind what to do. You have to make your flesh obey you. Make your will and your emotion be mastered by your spirit. And God said, I'll give my spirit to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to live in you so the Holy Spirit can take control or what's in the house. Amen. 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 Listen what the Bible says. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he has suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, and this is my favorite part, but to the will of God. We make a decision that we're going to develop the proper attitude toward your flesh. You're going to make it obey you, and when enemy rise up to try to cause friction, dissension, separation, division, that you're going to rise up and you're going to make your flesh obey you. And you're going to always win. God will raise up someone. They'll fight for you. And I thank God for the blessings that he will use other people to fight for you. Well, I want to thank you once again for tuning in. I want to thank you for those that are faithful and sowing to the ministry. I want to thank you for those that are faithful to logging in and those that are always there when Elder and I need you. I want to thank you for, you know, just open to receive what God is doing. And as I speak over your life, I want you to understand that there's so much more to come. Great things are coming your way. I want you to begin to expect some great things. I don't care what it look like. Just start looking to the hills from whence your help coming. Amen. You're going to get that degree. You're going to accomplish that goal. You're going to complete that vision. You're going to finish that book out. You're going to do everything God called you to do. Amen, amen, amen. Well, once again, we thank you. We love you. And don't forget that there is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for God. If you're willing and you're obedient, you will eat the good of the land. God bless everyone. And hold on to, I'm expecting great things. God bless you all and have a supernatural rest of your day.
Can you shout it out one more time? I'm expecting great things. Great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life?
Say, I'm expecting great things.